salute all the fellowship presidents that are here with us tonight. NFCS president, FCS, NIFES, Omega Fire. It's such an honor to have you. I appreciate you for coming. I also want to thank my dear brother, covenant brother, partner in the same apostolic quadrant, Pastor Justice, and his assistant, Frank Ada, all the way from Gimbo. That's such a long distance. I want to salute the lecturer, Silas, and every other person that has made it to this meeting this evening. It's such an honor to have you. Hallelujah. We will be taking our flight, and I want to encourage you to open your heart so that you can receive from the Lord. You see, the man of God is just a vessel that God uses in order to invade a territory. The man of God is the excuse of heaven to reaching out to you. Every one of you that have come here tonight, the Lord has a special ministration for you. The man standing on the altar is just the excuse of heaven for God to bring into your life what he has already prepared for you. And you'll be amazed that you are making contact with it today because you are in time. Because the realm of time is designed in a chronological order. But the things that God wants to bring to you, they are coming from the realm of reality. The things that God wants to give you, they were established and perfected in God before the foundations of the world. Tonight is just that Kairos moment where you are going to be taking hold of the things that God has planned for you. The most unfortunate thing that will happen to you in life is to miss your hour of visitation. Because sometimes your hour of visitations, they are not very, very likely hours. They are not hours that look what you think they are. Jesus was walking into Jerusalem and he lamented over the city. And he said, because they do not know the hour of their visitation. It's my prayer tonight that every one of us will be ready and rightly positioned to receive what the Lord has for you tonight. Apostle will always tell us, you don't have to look it to be it. And it doesn't take God eternity to do that which is eternal. The most strategic moment of a man's life is a moment of encounter. Because the moment you have an encounter with a spirit, you become a theater through which the realities of that spirit can be made manifest. The strength of that spirit, the ability of that spirit, the capacity of that spirit begins to find itself expressed through you. That is where your weaknesses are swallowed up. Your mortality is swallowed up by the immortal dimensions of the spirit that you have made contact with. So it does not matter your limitations and disadvantages in the natural. Everything becomes the reality of the spirit. That is why encounters are very, very important. And tonight you are going to be having series of encounters. Series of encounters. I am persuaded in the spirit. You are going to be having series of encounters. Just lift your hands toward heaven and worship him.
So that everyone that makes contact with those words by the sound by the spirit of the word, you will be carried into the realm. You know, the Bible said, while John was in the Isle of Patmos, he heard a sound behind him as of a trumpet. And as he turned to look, he was carried into the realm where the sound came from. That is the mystery of sound. Sounds are intelligent forces. Sounds are energy vibrators that comes with the life and the energy of the spirit from whence they are orchestrated. When you interact and simulate with sound, something happens. In physics, it is called resonance. What happens is that you synchronize with the frequency of the sound, and then you are carried into the realm of the operation of that sound. John was in the Isle of Patmos. He was given up, lost out of civilization, left for death. But when he heard the sound, something happened. He was carried into the realm. And the first thing he saw was the Christ. A man that civilization had rejected, he was cast away into the eyes of Patmos. The only destiny that was left for him in the Isle of Patmos was death. A slow kind of death. Because church history made us understand that they tied him to a chariot. They drew him around the city. He could not die. They threw him into boiling oil. He could not die. So the intelligence that was behind the casting away into the Isle of Patmos was to separate him from civilization. So that he would die slowly in hunger, in pain, and in penury. But while he was in the Isle of Patmos, he said, I was in the spirit. The man understood the technology of life. It didn't matter what was happening around him. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And the only way that heaven could extend an invitation to him was through a sound. He heard a sound as of a mighty trumpet, and he was carried. Suddenly, even the very writings of John, he said, anyone that reads this writing is blessed. Because he was talking from heaven. He was talking from heaven. You can't break their spirit. He was among the captives. He was sentenced, a prisoner. But right there in captivity, he saw visions of God. And he said, as he spoke to me, the spirit entered into me and carried me to my feet. What you need to carry you is to hear the whispers of heaven. Is to hear the whispers from Zion. Your circumstance will not move. Your mountains will remain, because the mountains only skip like rams when they come before the presence of the monarch of Zion. That's why we labor in the place of prayer. That's why we travail. That's why we worship. That by all means we may be carried. We may be carried. He said, know it this first. You cannot journey in the spirit. He said, you must know this first. He said, no prophecy of the scripture is of individual interpretation. He said, holy men of God, they spake as they were carried by the spirit of God. What made them who they were was the ability to be carried by the spirit of God. Holy men of God, they spake as they were carried. There are people talking on earth. You can't shake anything because there are demons who are enthroned over the constellation. They are wielders of powers in darkness. Until you are carried, you are carried. That's where your journey began. Only men, they spake as they were carried. As they were carried. There's a transport system in the spirit, but it's for them who can find it. It's called the path of life. That's why not many are mighty. Only few understand the technology of spirit life. There are many people laboring in hard work. Hard work doesn't make men. It is secret apprehension of mysteries that makes men. Partnership with spirits. That's what makes the difference. Oh, listen, let me tell you something. You see, sometimes when I look at some Christians, I begin to weep. It's amazing how the presence of God can be tangible in a place and somebody is not moved. You know why? He's rusty in the spirit. He's decaying. He cannot perceive. You know, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot perceive the kingdom. There are some people that have become rusty. They can't perceive the presence anymore. They are rusty. That's why Judas could live with Jesus for 3.5 years with the mighty works, with the wonders. The only thing that was in his head was how to sell and to betray Jesus. How could he think that way? How was it possible for him to think like that? He was rusty. So he was separated from the realm. There are some persons that can never be moved because the God of this world has blinded their hearts. When you come to the presence and you are not stirred, you cry and ask for help. You ask for mercy. If God does not make sense to you anymore, you are lost. You are dead. You are condemned already. Jesus said, they that believe, he said they have passed from death to life. He didn't say they will pass. They have passed. They are living in a realm. This person I see, as you are walking, there's a mighty angel walking with you. You hear his foot. Listen, I'm not prophesying. I'm telling you about the reality of somebody here. As you walk, you hear the footstep of somebody walking behind you, but you have never seen him. It is the angel the Lord has sent to walk with you, but you don't understand the secret and the protocol of partnership with the angelic. And even most times when you walk in dark places, you are afraid because the step becomes audible sometimes and you are afraid and you run away. The Lord wants to select those people. He wants to show you how that alignment pattern is established. Who is it? Who are they? There are even more than three. Just lift your hands. You don't need to come out. Where you are, God will touch you. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the Spirit. It's by the Spirit. It's by the Spirit. It's by the Spirit. And so precious Spirit of the living God. Everyone that is in that category that you want to anoint tonight to secure alignment, to secure alignment, to secure alignment, to secure alignment. Father, touch them now. Touch them now. Touch them now. Touch them now. Help her. Touch them. I activate the alignment pattern. I activate the alignment pattern in the spirit. I activate it. Let there be synchronization. Even right now. With your umbilical cords. All the young ladies, listen. The woman is a mystery. The womb of the woman is a gate into the spirit. It is only through the womb of a woman that life can come into earth. That is why every time the power of God is moving, it looks as if it's only ladies that are responding. Because by their configuration, they are connectors to the spirit realm. So it's easier for them to access dimensions. There's a dimension of the spirit that is about to be birthed through the umbilical cords of women here now. I am seeing the operation of the marine. And the operation of the marine comes in order to corrupt the prophetic movement and the prophetic heritage of a territory. And it's coming through that cord, that gate. We want to shut it down now. I'm seeing many, many young ladies here that have seen themselves crowned in their dreams, in their spirit. Some of you have become, every night is like a sex spree. Your womb has become a gate that opens up the territory to all kinds of marine operations, serpentine operation. I want to disconnect that gate so that you can become a conduit pipe through which the Holy Ghost can ride into this territory. Can you place your hands there now? Can you place your hands there now? Shakapata kabash. Jezeveleske bretenashka. Ushers, get ready. Obesatoberashikua. Baris kabates. Holy Ghost. Mesoto kaparabadas. Zika patea. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I break that connection now. I shut that gate to the demonic. Holy Ghost, separate them. Let the fire come upon them. Engulf with fire. Engulf with fire. Let the fire begin to burn. Let it begin to burn. Holy Ghost. Papa, into the word of the Lord. Or this is the last thing I want to do. I'm seeing young men that have lost scepters. You have lost mantles. Particularly, there's somebody here, one of the generals of God currently in Nigeria now, met with you in the dream and he gave you something that looked like an iPad. And somehow you gave it to somebody to hold for you. And then when you came to receive it back, it was something else. It's symbolic. I'm seeing young men that have lost mantles in the spirit. Some of you have lost it through carelessness. There's a cloud of mercy that is coming to this place now to restore lost mantles. Ezaita Baru Sekobea Bahua Liku Zataba Baraka Basco Entoria Barabenos Jatabala Testabanas Rekapate. Holy Ghost, restore. Help him. I don't want people injured. Help them. Holy Ghost, restore. From my left hand side to my right hand side, from the front to the back, Holy Ghost, move over them. Let the mantles be restored. Let it come upon you like a garment of fire. Like a garment of fire. Help those under the anointing. Let it come upon you like a garment of fire.
like a garment of fire. Let it descend upon you like a garment of fire. Let the mantles rest. Let the mantles rest. Let the mantles rest. Let the mantles rest. Let it rest upon you. Let it rest upon you. Let it rest upon you. Let it rest. Let it rest upon you.
But I'm not saying it for you to believe. I'm telling you what I've seen, because I've gone ahead of the service. Some of you, your eyes will open. You will begin to see into the spirit. Some of you, the curses that have tied people down in your family, suddenly you begin to have understanding. Not just about the mystery that is at work in your family, but you will know what you will do to undo those negative mysteries. You will know it. It will just come upon you. A knowing will descend upon you. Some of you, as the ministration is going on, sicknesses will leave your body. You will notice weights will jump out of people. Addictions will break off the life of people. Some of you, you will literally begin to sense the anointing in a tangible fashion. Your hands will begin to burn. Your legs will begin to eat you. Your legs will eat you literally. Some of you will take off your shoes because your legs literally will eat you. Because the Lord will be dispensing spiritual varieties. There will be dispensations. Dispensing of giftings, of graces by the hand of God. Because this season is a strategic prophetic season for a move to begin in this land. And God has brought you here because you are supposed to be heralds. Heralds of this movement. Sakabatabash. There's a young man here. Listen. There's a young man here. You're about 23 years old. You are fair in complexion. A bit slim. The Lord, I've told you, is sending you out as an evangelist. Listen, you have seen several visions of yourself, and you find yourself ministering to a large crowd of people. You have seen it several times, but there is fear in your heart. You don't know how you are going to begin it. In fact, there was a time you asked yourself, what name will I give to this kind of ministry? There have been this trouble in your heart, and the Holy Ghost have been persuading. Are you the one? How old are you? You are 23. You've seen these visions before. You have been asking yourself, how will it happen? And fear has been in your heart. In fact, there was a time you were trying to say, what will be the name of this ministry? And you thought in your head, but you couldn't find a name. But the Lord will have me let you know that it's not by power. It's not by might. You have asked?
Yes, sir. Today I did that.
The Lord will have me tell you, it's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the Spirit of the living God. Can you lift your hands toward heaven? The angel of the Lord will touch you. The hand of God will come upon you. And as you are slain, you begin to receive instructions. Instructions about the ministry that the Lord has put in your hand. Because I've seen signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. I've seen power erupting from your vessel to cast out demons. To cast out demons by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Ghost.
You're
re ba bo sa pele ba bo e la kumara da valega suru ava pa male
you re
ba bo
I've seen a young lady that have
been bursting in her heart. In fact, there's a fear, because every time you come into the presence, you know God will apprehend you. In fact, some of the witnesses that you have received in your heart is that you will end up in the sanctuary. This lady I speak about, surprisingly, she's also a bit fair, light in complexion, slim young lady. And amazingly, this lady comes from Benue. And I'm seeing the city of Togo. And God is telling you, God wants to apprehend. God wants to apprehend. But there is fear. There is fear. There is fear in her heart, because, in fact, it has become a challenge for you to come into the presence. Into the presence. There is an ordination that is about to come upon you. There's an ordination. As we begin to worship now, the hand of God will find you. Because I know there is fear. There is fear. That thing you are afraid of today, today is the day. Today is the day. I want the Holy Ghost himself to pick you from the crowd. Your own skin. Oh my God. Oh my God. Wait. You see now. Because of what I've said now, I'm seeing that there are also three other young ladies. In fact, one of you, God have told you, you marry a pastor. And a prophet has even confirmed it. But you see, it has been a challenge. It has been a struggle. The hand of God. The hand of God. The hand of God. Okay, let me even give you the opportunity. Come, so that you'll be willingly. Do it willingly. Do it willingly. I don't want the Holy Ghost to compare. I don't want the Holy Ghost to compare. Okay, you are the young lady, the fair young lady from Otuko. You are from Benue State. You are from Otuko. You are the young lady. The hand of God will apprehend you. You can't run again. Today is the day. See, you are here, the name matter, matter, and the Lord tells me what he tells you is telling matter, because you are tied to matter, you are connected to matter. Who is matter?
Matter is a friend. We attend the same church.
You attend the same church. You say your destiny is tied to her. It's the same instruction God is giving you, is giving matter. So what will happen to you now will happen to matter. Revealing to you
that I will marry a pastor.
Okay. Which of you has a prophet confirmed? A prophet confirmed to you. You are the one. The prophet told you that you can't escape it. This is what the Lord has said.
Yes, sir.
That's where you will end. There's no need struggling. You know why? What is summoning you is the hand of an immortal being. You don't fight them. When Saul was persecuting the church, and Jesus said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, it is hard to kick against the barbed wire. The things you want to fight against, they were established, perfected in God before the foundations of the world. You were brought into an equation. It has an immortal scope. What God is calling you into, it was weaned from the foundation of the world. Your life is not sufficient to kick against it. You can't fight it. It's immortal. When they summon, we only obey. Because it's by power, the powers that fashion the foundations of creation. No man has the capacity to fight it. Not one of us. Oh, your skin. Kados, Kados. You are mighty on your. You're ready.
Oh, well. Zebela kumara zabelo, malakumbre skevata boria, raam da para isko para gabata boata. Oma le kaya pahuata. Sheuri, hey, you're God, you are mighty on. You're
Hey, akaka papa boata ayata mas. Vamos lá, tá comendo. Ezo prenetali kazura hababata.
Oh, Abanas. Listen.
We have not started the service. The angels of God are already healing people. As I speak to you, pain has just left somebody's back region. You were feeling some pain. You lift your hand, you feel pain. Pain has just left. It just lifted. Check yourself. See, the presence of God is the region of assortment of possibilities. Because His presence is the full weight of His reality. The word presence is the word doxa. It means the full composition of a reality. In Hebrew, it's called kapoed. When He manifests, anything is possible. That's what they call the Shekinah glory. When He invades a place, He begins to swallow your insufficiencies. Sakibura hatakaba. You ready?
Oh, check yourself. If you are the healed, come. If you are the healed, come. Check.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, precious Holy Spirit. We give you praise, we give you glory. In Jesus' precious name. He wants to pray. I heard Ben Him say the story. I was amazed. He went to Catherine Kuma's meeting and he saw the power of God. And then he came back and said, well, Holy Spirit, what they said, if it's true, prove it to me. And he was there waiting on the Holy Ghost. If the Holy Ghost had not proven himself to him, he wouldn't have entered into ministry. So when Ben Him stands before the sick man, he's not trying to believe. He believed before he started. But you just came to a place and they motivated you that preachers are respected, or you just saw a preacher that you liked, and then you went to the place of prayer, and then you began to pray, hoping that you will become a preacher. No, you were a preacher before you were born. So your journey needs to begin from understanding of truth, so that by truth, conviction will be furnished. And when conviction is furnished, you begin to walk with confidence. Your assurance will not be in things, it will be in God. I've preached to white guys before. They say, well, what you are saying, if you believe it, prove it. Well, my hand, I have something on my hand. There's a growth on my hand. It has been there for 5 years. If healing is true, pray, let the growth go. And God is not against it. Because God called us to be witnesses unto him. What it means is that you and I are supposed to be the proof that God is real. So we are first of all called to prove the existence and the validity of the truth of God. Our life is supposed to be a statement of the veracity of the word of God. If the word of God is true, we are supposed to prove it. So when you come to talk to somebody about the Holy Spirit, you are not expected to coerce the person. You are expected to demonstrate the truth of the Holy Spirit. When the person sees it, he will believe. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. He didn't say that we know them by what they say. It's by proof. That's why the journey is not a journey of coercing people. It's a journey of power. Jesus was the Son of God. I told you yesterday. He didn't start preaching. He was living his life like a normal person for 30 years. It was after he came back from the Mount of Temptation. The Bible said he came in the power of the Spirit. That was when Jesus began to preach. The moment the power of the Spirit came upon him, he ran to the synagogue and he opened the book of Isaiah and he began to tell them who he is. He knew who he was from when he was a child, but there was no authority to produce that manifesto. The manifesto is subject to his receipt of power. Some of us will come and tell people we are prophets, and then they say, ah, thank God, prophet, welcome. There's this challenge in the family, and then prophet begins to say, you know, God will help, the message of God. Prophet begins to escape because you have not taught power, and then you want to do an assignment that can only be carried out on the template of power. It's an aberration of reality. I want to show you what it means. You know, yesterday when I was sharing with you, I didn't even have time to talk to you about the spirit of grace and supplication. I just wanted to show you what it means to walk in it, because it's possible for you to come to a meeting and then a glory, a dimension of the glory of God comes upon you, and then you receive a capacity and you run with it for 2 weeks, and then as the glory dissipates, you begin to fall short of the glory. But the goal of God is for you to walk in faith. The goal of God is not for you to walk by any special assistance. It's for you to grow in faith and walk in faith, because it's only by faith that you can please him. And the reason we were created was to please him. The 24 elders, they fell on their face. They say, all things were created for thy pleasure. And the Bible said God can only be pleasured when we worship him and we walk with him by faith. So I have to take time yesterday to show you what it means to walk in the reality of the spirit of grace and supplication. And that was why I took time to show you how that Abraham was called from among his kindred. He was separated from his kindred. And when you are called from your kindred, what God does is that by supplication, by prayer, by waiting in the spirit, he begins to draw you to the center of his reality. And I use the tabernacle of Moses as a depiction to tell you how we journey from our body through our soul to our spirit. I showed you the outer court. I showed you the inner court. And I showed you the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwells. Because one of the things that the spirit of supplication does for you is to bring you to the center of God's way. Is to bring you to the center and the circumference of the presence of God, where the totality of his reality is domesticated. Because that's where your journey begins from. But today I want to show you two other dimensions of the workings of the spirit of grace and supplication. Is tomorrow I will define what grace and supplication is. Because tomorrow when I define it, the reality will fall in the building. I want you to have understanding. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. And by implication of that statement, Jesus doesn't need to have power. It is from him that power originates. You see, there are 12 cardinal names in scriptures that is used to describe the person of God. And all of those names did not just describe who God is. It also reveals to us the workings of God in different dispensations as the civilization of humanity stretches out in time. The first name of God that was revealed to us in scripture is the name Elohim. And the word Elohim reveals the plurality of oneness. It reveals the three God in one person. And it did not just reveal that mystery. It also reveals to us the fact that God is almighty. The meaning of Elohim is almighty. It means he's not just might, but every might is gathered together to form who he is. He is the Elohim. And the reason God revealed himself as Elohim was because he wanted to carry out a feat that was only possible with the one that holds all power. That feat is called the feat of creation. So as the Almighty, as the one who was the custodian of the totality of power in the universe, he showed up and he gathered creation together. Creation was not in existence anywhere, because all that was eternity. He spoke space and time and matter into being. He created the heavens and the earth as Elohim. That name was supposed to reveal to us that God is the custodian of all kinds of power. And when man fell, another dimension of the name of God was revealed. The name Jehovah. As Jehovah, he is revealed as the one that has the authority to punish iniquity. And that is also another dimension of the revelation of the power of God. Because, for instance, if you are not my son and you misbehave, I don't have the right to punish you. The right I have to punish you is predicated upon the fact that I am your father. So I have authority over your life. So when Jehovah was revealed as the one that has authority to punish iniquity, it was also a revelation of the power of God as the owner and the custodian of creation. So everything in creation is answerable to him. So Jehovah was revealed first in Genesis chapter 2 verse 4 after that man fell. Genesis chapter 3 verse 4. He called him Jehovah Elohim. And God continued to reveal himself like that by healing power, by all kinds of sovereign power, until the last one that was revealed in Ezekiel chapter 48 verse 35. He called him Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah is a revelation that in that place God will dwell. That is the last dispensation of the workings of God among humanity. It is a reality that will be found in the New Jerusalem. That means beginning is God, end is God. By that authority, reveals that God holds all power that constitutes and comprises, navigate and controls the operation of the universe. He was there before the beginning began, and even when the end comes, he will be there. And that is why in that world that is to come, he said there will be no sun. He said Jesus will become the light of that creation, because Jehovah Shammah is the one that powers all things that happen there. But you see, when Jesus came into time, Jesus began to show us a prototype, a lifestyle that will give humanity the capacity to succeed and fulfill the purpose of God for their existence. Because when Jesus came into time, Jesus had to seek power to be able to do what he needed to do. Now, Jesus existed before he was born as the Word of God. And as the Word of God, he was co-equal with the Father. And if he was co-equal and one with the Father, he has all the powers that the Father had. But when he became flesh, He needed power to fulfill the mandate that was upon his life. And the reason Jesus suddenly was in need of power is because, in order for him to satisfy the claims of divine justice, he had to become a mortal man like every one of us. So if you study the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, he reveals to us that Jesus stripped himself of the garment of divinity. In theology, we call it the kenosis doctrine. It is the emptying away of yourself so that you can take another reality. So everything that made him God, the powers, the authority, that made him the sovereign one, he emptied himself of it so that he could be exactly like man. Because the law of the spirit is that the entity that failed is the entity that will pay the price. So when an angel fell, it is only an angel that can rescue an angel. But unfortunately, an angel is not in time. An angel is in eternity. And anything that happens in eternity is continuous. It can't stop anymore. So there's no hope for the angelic. When man fell, it's only man that has the capacity to pay the price for man, because the wages of sin is death. So Jesus had to become a complete man. That's the law of the spirit. When man locked the ark, when God locked the ark of Noah, Noah could not open it. God was the one that would open it. When Adam was sent out of the Garden of Eden, he was standing in Eden as a guardian. The angel that came to replace him was also a guardian cherub. Because your status and your reality is what will speak for you at all times. So when man fell, only man could save man. So Jesus had to empty himself of everything that makes him God and became the likeness of man. As the likeness of man, he was stripped of power. He was emptied of power. However, he had to survive in this world. He had to live in this world to fulfill his destiny, just like every one of us. It was not possible except as he apprehends power. And that was why the life of Jesus was a life of prayer. Jesus prayed all his life. The Bible said in Mark chapter 1 verse 35, he said, early in the morning, he will separate himself into a solitary place. There he prayed. Because he knew that without prayer, there is no way he could apprehend the power of the Spirit. The Bible said when Jesus was baptized, as he was lifted out of the water, he came out praying. There was nothing Jesus knew like prayer. He prayed from the beginning, and even at the end, when he was dying, he died with prayer. Because Jesus knew that to survive in this world and to as much as fulfill destiny, you must be in apprehension of power. And the only thing that will take you into the realm where power dwells is prayer. You see, church have said it erroneously that a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. And that power is in prayer. You see, the power is not actually in prayer. The power is in the Holy Ghost. But prayer is what carries you into the Spirit. So Jesus, the Bible said, he returned in Luke chapter 4 verse 14 in the power of the Spirit, not in the power of prayer. He returned in the power of the Spirit. And the reason Jesus pursued power before he began ministry was because he knew that the people he was contending with, they were entities that were in custody of power. He said, if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, it means the kingdom, the government, the dominion of God is among you. So the only way casting out demons was possible is if you are in sync with the dominion of heaven. So one of the reasons we pray, supplicate in the spirit is because we need power. Without power, there is no fulfillment of destiny. They can pour a drum of oil on you. You will remain the way you are. I know this one by experience. This one, I know it by experience. God's choice servant, Bishop David Oedekpo, has anointed me. I know it by experience. You don't enter into it because you were anointed. Everything that is placed on you is a seed. When you pray, you ginger it to life. That's what your destiny depends on. Power. Why? Because you are seated in the world of darkness. The Bible said, the habitation of cruelty. The habitation, he calls the earthen the habitation of cruelty. He said the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's the manifesto of the devil. The only way you can live above death is as you glide on the wings of power. And the only strategy Jesus showed us was by prayer. So when Jesus did mighty works, the people did not say his words were strong. They wonder. They say, by what power doth this man this mighty works? So they knew everything Jesus was doing was a manifestation of power. The guys had understanding. So they won't go and do trial and error. And meanwhile, the foolish ones that tried it, they saw what happened to them. The Bible said the sons of Sceva, you know, they were in Ephesus. And Paul told us that in Ephesus, he contended with the beast of Ephesus. In Ephesus, Paul saw strange dimensions of power. It was in Ephesus that Paul displayed the highest intelligence. In fact, if you read the book of Ephesians, that's where Paul spoke about the deepest mysteries in his writing. In Ephesus, he contended with powers of all kinds. He argued for 2 years, debating with the people about the mysteries of the kingdom. It was in Ephesus that the Bible said handkerchiefs and aprons were carried from the body of Paul, and they were placed on the sick. They recovered, and demons cried out of them. When these guys saw the move of power in the life of Paul, they now went and said, and they wanted to conjure a demon. The power Paul manifested in Ephesus was terrible. The Bible said they that used curious act, they brought their books, astrologers, diviners, necromancers, witches, wizards, experts of necromancy, people that were trained in the art of wizardry. They gathered all their books and they sold it. They burnt it because they saw a dimension of power that was coming out from a celestial realm. And this guy saw Paul. Instead of finding out how Paul entered into those dimensions, they went to do what Paul was doing. They think it is in the activity. It's not in the activity. It's where you are seated in the spirit. Because everything he was doing in the natural was a revelation of the throne that he was sitting on in the spirit. Power. Without power, there is no destiny in view. Without power, there is no hope. Without power, there is no future. That's why I say power is not falling down. Power is actually uninstalling, discomfiting demonic installations. When you see a man prospering, he is in sync with the spirit. Begin anything. You see, the reason most of us are not aware is because we have not grown in anything. Begin to do anything. When you come to a level and what you are doing begins to shake the territory, then the princes that have authority over the territory begin to appear to you. That's when for the first time, you will know that prayer meeting is not just 2 and 3 people gathered to pray. When your prayers begin to cause vibrations and reverberation in the spirit, suddenly one day you'll be going home and a being will stand before you. Say, by what authority are you doing what you are doing? By what authority? I was contending with a serpentine demon. I was choking the lives of people in Benue State University. I didn't graduate from there, but I was at home one period and the body came. And as I was praying, I was locked in the room praying. And one day I laid down as I was praying, a naked woman walked out of the wall. From my back, I never knew there was a door there. You have not seen anything. You have not done it. Even the business, people who do business, there's a level. Before you enter into the level of millions, they will tell you, mere mortals don't cross this line. For you to cross this line, you must be enabled by spirit. That's why these people go into fraternity with demons. Because they know where they should go to. But you come there and spirits show up. They tell you, human beings don't travel beyond here. We are the ones that represent men after this line. So you fraternize with the spirit and he speaks for you from that realm. Mortals don't journey past here. It is called the regions of the great beyond. A naked woman walked out of the wall. And she carried a red apron on her shoulder like a Babylonian prostitute. And as I laid on the ground, my mouth opened, my eyes opened. I was left in bewilderment. where did she come out from? As I was lost in my wonders, she walked by my side, God just said, you know, demons hang on people, and you see demons. If you have seen a demon, they are funny creatures. You see a demon hang on somebody and struggling the person. Maybe what you hear in your head sometimes, you say, go and meet the boy now. Go and meet the boy. You think it's your thought. No, it's a whisperer. He show you all the pictures of all the pornographic things you have watched, all the girls you have lusted after. And then he's telling you, go and see the guy. Go and see the guy. Go and see. Then your thought, you can't control it. You move. That's how demons operate. They hang on people like tiny creatures, like monkeys. If you have seen a demon, you know what they look like. And some of them are strange. Some demons are just a head rolling about very fast and carrying out quick activity. But principalities are not like that. Principalities are not like that because they have authority over territories. If a demon comes here, he's trespassing, he's afraid. When a principality comes here, he's claiming right over the territory. So even if you are praying, he can walk up to you and ask you, by what authority are you doing what you are doing? Because that one is not a demon, it's a principality. That's why Jesus was fasting. The devil waited for him after 40 days, and he came to Jesus, and he was strolling with Jesus. Now, a man who has fasted, with the presence, that tangible, thick presence, the devil comes strolling with him. He said, hey, young man, you are hungry. Jesus looked at him. He said, turn this stone to bread now. Why are you behaving like this? You are hungry. What are you waiting for? Turn these stones to bread. What? Jesus? And the devil told him, turn these stones to bread. And Jesus used scriptures. Because at that point, the only thing that gives you authority is your understanding of mysteries. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that comes from the mouth of the Father. And he said, okay, you have passed the test of hunger, right? Your appetite is not your God. Oh, yeah, come, let me show you something. And he carried Jesus and went to the pinnacle of a mountain. Which mountain can you stand on and see the whole glory of the world? There's no mountain like that. So what the devil actually did was that he carried Jesus into an elevated place in the spirit where Jesus could see the glory of the world. He began to show him all the kings. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. I empowered him. Look at Xerxes. I empowered him. Look at Alexander. He began to show Jesus all the mighty glory that he has given to men. He said, bow to me, I will give it to you. Power. When you press and reach a crescendo, then you begin to interact with entities. That's when you will know that life is not all you see. This being walked into my room gorgeously, circled around me, and she came and sat on me. And as she sat down, that was when I discovered her head was a man. A demon of perversion. A naked woman, but her head was a man. I pushed this lady with all my strength. She didn't even notice if something was touching her. What? In my folly, I went to bite her back. And as I beat her, she didn't even shake. That was when I realized that there's trouble. And I looked into heaven. I surrendered. Sometimes what keeps you in bondage is your struggle in the flesh. A spirit of immorality is operating in your head and you are using your will. You say, I will not. The guy comes in the morning, say, get out. In the afternoon, get out. After 3 days, he now downs on you. Then that demon will now bring another strategy. Suddenly, he will invoke loneliness into you. And then you suddenly start feeling lonely. You carry your phone, you check. Nobody has called you in 2 weeks. Suddenly, you discover that it's only this guy that is calling you. Say, okay, since there is loneliness, you now pick the call. See, stop disturbing me now. I don't like this. Your will is already subjugated. Because what is coming against you is called power. It's not reason. Why you remain in bondage is because you struggle in the flesh. I struggled. Nothing came out. That was when I lifted my hand and I said, Jesus, save me. And light came from heaven and struck her. But because I beat her back, I walked with lust for 2 weeks. I had to rush to apostle. I said, see the issue. Every girl I see now, I want to hug her. What is happening? This is what he said, what did you see? Your own Christianity is only doctrine. You know doctrine. So you think it's doctrine. Everything we say, the whole scriptures you are seeing is a person. The scriptures Everything that is truth in the scripture is a person. The day you see it, you will enter into his reality. The day you see healing, you will see Jesus. And then you will enter into the side of Jesus that is called healing. But if you don't know it, you will think it's doctrine. What did you see? I said, well, I was stretching in the place of prayer. And this being came out, sat on me. I pushed her, she didn't go. I beat her, and then she just laughed. What I was praying and struggling with for 2 weeks, God's servant placed his hand on me and said, see, forget. Spiritual things are not for babes. God's servant put his hand on me, and then he didn't say anything. He just stayed there. And then he released the shout. I release you. So because I beat this woman, I was locked up somewhere. What I call struggling, what I call lost, is a chain around my mind. I release you. Power. You don't succeed in life outside of power. Everything Jesus did was by power. By power. By power. By power. That's why I say all powers belong to you. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. You don't even have a walk in life except as you domesticate power. That is why we pray. That is why we are even crying today that we will be engraced from on high with the spirit of supplication. Because this place you call university, if your eye opens in the spirit, then you discover that it's a city. It's a city. The demons in this territory are more numerous than the whole student and lecturers put together. When you begin to engage them, then suddenly they begin to fight. That's when you will come to church and everything the president is saying, you are being irritated. Because what the spirit is trying to do is to create anger in your heart. Because anger is a gate in the spirit. The moment anger, indignation arises in your heart, then the demon enters into the place. When you begin to contend with them, that's when you'll be going home. And suddenly they'll tell you, one of your papers, they didn't see it. You'll begin to fight your result, fight your academy. Some of you will now discover you read, you can't remember again. What's happening? Because you saw people praying and then you rush, you went and joined them. No, it's warfare. There's no place in the Bible that suggests life is fun. When you see people thinking life is fun, going from one club to the other, going to this Mr. Biggs, E3, they don't have understanding. Read the whole Bible from beginning to the end. It doesn't suggest anywhere that life is fun. The only thing it tells you is that life is a warfare. Say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's why you must lay hold on power. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible said, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. All things. So everything you have in life was given to you according to the dictates of power. It is by power that your destiny was encoded. When Moses climbed the mountain and he saw God writing the laws on the tablet of stone, that would have been the greatest wonder in this world. Because what God wrote on the stone, the Bible said, fire came out of his finger and inscribed the laws upon the tablet of stone. So when the laws were on the stone, they were burning. They were burning with fire. That would have been the greatest wonder of all time. You see a tablet of stone and fire burning inside. That's how your destiny was written. It was written by power. But principalities, they can peep. The Bible says wizards, they peep. They can peep into the spirit and check and discover that, Kai, this man, when he's 25, something will come upon him. And if we don't stop him before that time, we will lose. So they begin to fight. But the only way you can journey into the vote of power is by prayer. All the great men we read about, it was by prayer they entered. The Bible said Moses, he was in the presence for 40 days. He said when he came out, he wished not that his face shone like the sun. The man became a god. Even Jesus himself, in Matthew chapter 17 verse 2, he said as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment became glistering. When he descended from the mountain, The apostles that didn't go up were struggling with a demon, and he came and he rebuked the demon once and he left. You will think it's by the audible voice. So you come to cast a demon, you say, "Get out!" No, it's not by shouting, it's by power. He said, "This kind goeth not but by prayer and by fasting." The unbelief that is choking you from releasing the power, it is prayer that will remove that unbelief by power. Without power, destiny is not in view. If you like, have the biggest connections in the world. The biggest of connections. I used to tell this story. I had this friend of mine. The father was a big man. They were waiting for him to just write his final paper. In fact, he was supposed to start working before going for service, to become a deputy director in ARIC. A graduate without experience. That was about 8 years ago. 2 weeks to his graduation, his father died. He said, "Woe unto the man that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh." Flesh doesn't have capacity to engender protocols and policies that were instituted by the voice of the sovereign monarch of Zion. By power. Only by power. Say, all things that pertain to life and godliness. He said he gave it by power. He said, you will enter it through the knowledge of Christ. Through the knowledge. The word knowledge in that scripture is the word epignosis. Through the revelation. When you pray, what happens is that you are carried into the realm where those things make meaning. Because in time, they are mysteries. The Bible said, God hath hid these things in mysteries for our glory. He said it's a mystery. That's why the princes of this world do not know. He said, for if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He said, to them that are without is a mystery, but unto you is given to know the secrets of the kingdom. But for you to know the secrets of the kingdom, you must travel through the portals of revelation. And what carries you into that path is prayer. Because if you don't enter, you cannot apprehend the power. And if you don't apprehend the power, you will fail in life. It doesn't matter if you are a first class graduate. One of my disciples, currently in Abuja, he made first class degree from Usmanda, Sokoto University, Sokoto, in chemistry. He was the best in the history of the department. But when he finished, they told him to convert to Islam. And he refused. And he doesn't have a job till now. A first class graduate. It's foolishness for you to put all your confidence in paper. A paper that a rat can eat. But there is a God that we serve. Power, power, power. There are four Greek words for power in the scriptures. The one used in that scripture is dunamis. The other ones that you see mostly in the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus is exousia. And then you have iskos, you have kratos. You see, dunamis is potential power. It doesn't have capacity to do anything. If they keep a ball on this roof, the ball, because of the potential difference between the height of the roof and the down, the ball accumulates energy. But that ball cannot release that energy so long as it remains on the roof, because it's a potential. But if anything pushes the ball and the ball begins to roll, if it comes down, if it hits you on the head, it may give you headache because of the energy it accumulated on account of the potential difference. That's what dynamics is. It's a potential power. Until you convert it to kratos, it can't make meaning. What translates potential power to dynamic power, to working power, is prayer. That's why the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, he said you should be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What it means is that be enabled in the Lord and in the kratos of his iskos. Be enabled in the Lord so that what you carry as dynamis can be changed into the power that can work. What you are seeing as electricity is kratos, but it is coming from the generator. The energy is in the dynamo of the generator. When you on the generator and the dynamo peaks, it's after the dynamo peaks that you see light. It's after the dynamo peaks that you hear sound. What you need is kratos, not dynamis. Dynamis gives you the potential and the capacity to walk in the reality. But until you labor in the place of prayer and convert dynamis to kratos, you will be lost in the hands of the devil. That's why we labor in prayers. We ask for the spirit of supplication. And that's why what the devil distracts you from the most is prayer. You can sit down and hear a message for 6 months. He won't bother. Because he knows that it will enter you and they will become seeds. Until you begin to whine it in the place of prayer, you will not amount to anything. Power. Power. Everything you need is circled in power. Even your identity in the spirit realm is power. Say, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Who are you? The register is not a function of name. It's who are you in the spirit? Who are you? Jesus is the Christ. He's sitting on the throne. He's called the right hand of God. That's the place of power. Paul is an apostle. By ordination, he has entered into his reality. Who are you? What throne are you sitting on? Most of us don't have an identity in the spirit. We call ourselves names. Some even go to cast out devils, and what they receive is a dirty slap. One of our guys went to cast out devil, and the guy just landed, the gear landed the guy. And these people become so strong when they are demonized. Landed the guy a terrible slap, and the guy said, what? The guy landed the gear back. That action proves where the guy is coming from. And that's why the demon slapped him. He's a carnal man. He's following spiritual people and acting like he's a spiritual man. No, you don't act like. The spirit comes upon you and changes you into another man. He said, so, he told Saul, he said, as you go to the plains of Tabor by the garrison of the Philistine, you will see a company of prophets coming with tablets, with pipes, with harp, and with musical instruments. He said, there, the spirit of God will come upon you and you will be changed into another man. It's until you are changed, you don't have the capacity of participation. Power is why we pray, we labor, we stay there. If power has not come, we are not qualified to move. Jesus told the apostles in the book of Luke chapter 24 verse 49, he said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. When Jesus was about to leave, he said, you shall receive the Holy Ghost. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in all in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. But don't move until you are endued with power. If power have not come, you are not a witness. You go and speak English and die. Demons don't understand English language. They understand power. That's why your family, people are in bondage, and you are there speaking English. You go to pray, and then you speak English. Speak English. When you are speaking English, a demon will just come and close your eye, and you will sleep there. Flies perch on cold food. When you are hot, they run away. If they come, they die. A man of power, as he shows up, darkness runs, because they know they are in trouble. Power. You are not praying. You think it's by scriptures. You will quote them and quote until you quote your way into death. Bishop Oedipo said he went to fast for 3 days. He was beaten by rain. The clothes he wore, sun dried it on his body. And he was there praying, praying, praying. And as he was coming down from the mountain, an angel appeared to him. He said, this day I have touched your tongue with the coal of fire. As you speak, you will see it happen. You will be erroneously foolish to hear his messages and quote the scripture he's quoting. When you quote it, a demon will strike you with hepatitis. You reign, you ancient Zion King, Kadosh, Kadosh. You reign, you reign, you reign. Listen, listen, listen. Better stay there in the place of prayer until you are endued with power. Jesus didn't do anything for 30 years. Because what we do for God is not calculated by time. It's calculated by life. He was there for 30 years. You would think he's wasting his time. He was waiting for ordination. What Jesus achieved in 40 days, he couldn't achieve in 30 years. The day power came, for 3.5 years, he changed the world forever. 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 If it means waiting until you are 40, wait. When power comes, one day can become greater than 50 years. It's by power. It's by power. Great God, the Spirit of the deep. I am God. You are mighty on your reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you reign.
Zion City.
God, oh God, God.
Do you know what prayer does for you? Do you know what prayer does for you? See, prayer is like a refinery. You see, the most expensive liquid in the world is the crude oil. In the crude oil, you have petrol, you have kerosene, you have diesel, you have asphalt, you have vaseline, you have bitumen. But when it's mixed together as crude oil, it has no value. In the refinery, what they do is that they expose it to heat. And then as the crude oil ascends through the fractionating tower, all the values in the crude oil is separated. It's separated. Then petrol is collected. And then 1 liter of petrol becomes 150 naira. Then the kerosene is separated. The diesel is separated. The asphalt is separated. The bitumen is separated. Why? Because it was subjected to the distillation tower. Prayer refines you. In your vessel is the heritage of God. That this treasure is in earthen vessel. It's in earthen vessel. But it must be separated by the protocol of prayer. You are there in your weakness. You are there in your corrupt nature. It is by prayer that it is going to separate the value that God has put in you. Some of you is your gift. And it is your gift that will make room for you. Because he said, a man's gift maketh room for him and causeth him to stand before king. He didn't say a man's certificate. You have wasted 4 years looking for certificate and you have not developed your gift. It is your gift that will make room for you. And the only way your gift can appear is by prayer.
Rain, you rain, you rain.
Listen, let me tell you something. This thing happens. It happens to us every day. Every day. I know it like I know the hand. I know my hand. Yesterday, as we left here after the release of the power of God, people were still on the floor after we left. As we entered the hotel, as I was driving to the hotel, I came down, I was walking to my room. A man who lodged that hotel, he's currently an advisor to the governor of this state. He was a former PDP chairman. He is contesting for the post of a senator. And when he saw me walking, he saw the glory of God. And he asked them, he said, please, can I meet this man? This man is over 65 years. You see why people of the world are more intelligent. Jesus said the children of the world, they are in their generation wiser than the sons of the kingdom. You may come for the meeting. What you are seeing is a small boy, but a man of 65 years, he saw it. He ran to me. When he came to the room, you were there. He said, daddy, daddy, daddy. Why? He understands the mystery in the kingdom. He said, surely the lesser is blessed of the greater. He has money. He has political power. But what he needs to be enthroned is a spiritual power. And he saw somebody that had it. He said, daddy, daddy. I told him by word of knowledge, I called him in the night, a lot of things. What was happening to his wife who is in Jalingo? What was happening to his daughter who is in Abuja? He called me around 5 a.m. this morning. And he came to the room. He came with a big envelope. A big envelope. A big envelope. I can't end that money in 1 month. But listen, he's got power. Before he came, the Holy Ghost told me, don't take his money. I trust the Holy Ghost more than money. And when he brought the money, I said, no, I don't need your money. But if you must give to God, look for a church, give it to them. Then God will remember you from his sanctuary. He's got power. These secrets, nobody encourages you to pray again. You know why? Your reality is in the spirit. When you see a lady manifesting and you are casting down the demon that is in her, the reality of that demon might be in the water. So when you speak here, your authority goes to uninstall that demon in the water. Then the lady manifests here and the demon goes out. Your own reality is in heaven. It is by prayer that you will be carried. When you are carried to your reality, then he begins to speak on earth. Jesus said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven, when he speaks from heaven, there is no force on earth that can stop him. Why? Because him that is from above is above all. So he's talking from heaven. You can't talk from earth and have results. You only talk from heaven. That's why in the resurrection, he said we are seated with him in heavenly places. Only men of prayer can travel into the experience of heaven.
Let me tell you what they don't know. Some of you, even your parents, don't know you. They look at you and they say, useless boy. They don't know you. Your teachers look at you. They say, blockhead. They say, useless boy. They call you harlot. Some of you, they call you thief. They don't know you. Do you know what they call Peter? Do you know what they call James? They call them peasants. They call them unlearned men. They call them fishermen. But when they encountered power, something happened. See, today professors are studying the writings of Peter. Professors are studying the writings of Jude. These men were fishermen. They had no value. It is until you enter power, that's when you will prove to the world that you are not what they are calling you. They don't know you. Your reality is in heaven. The Bible said he has put eternity in their hearts. I am as deep as eternity. You can't judge me in time. I am deeper than time. Even when I leave this body, my spirit is going somewhere. I will be carried by the Holy Ghost through the portals of the great divide. I will stand with Jesus on the corridor of eternity. You don't know me. Even the world will come. I am part of the blocks that will build that city. Who told you can call me a name? You can't call me a name. You know why? Jesus said everybody they are calling names, they are wrong. He said when you come to eternity, he said I will give you a name that no man knows. Because in time, they may call you a foolish man. In time, they may call you a businessman. Hey, I am a cherub. I walk on the corridors of immortality. I have gone to meetings with angels. I have gone to meetings with prophets. I'm not an ordinary man. If you want to know me, travel to heaven. They will tell you who I am.
You ancient Zion's king. Adonai.
It takes only a man of understanding to know you. They don't know you.
Don't accept the name they are calling you.
They don't know you. If they want to know you, let them go to heaven. Jesus will tell them who you are. Can I tell you something? The Bible said the wise men from the east, they magi, they were astrologers. When they saw Jesus, Jesus was a baby, but they said to Herod, he said, where is the king that was born? We have come to worship him. They didn't see a baby, they saw a king, because they saw him from the spirit. They don't know you. Anybody who wants to talk about you, let him first of all go to heaven. That's where the reality is.
Listen.
It's time to pray in tongues. I hear a sound from heaven. Listen. Men are about to be carried into their realities. Men are about to be carried into their ordination. It's not about the preaching.
In Jesus' name. Listen.
I see a garment in the spirit. I see a garment. It's a garment of intercession. Listen to what this garment is coming to do. Families are about to be delivered. God wants to raise priests in families. And you are the priest of your family. As we begin to pray now, the garments will begin to descend. It will begin to descend. Holy Ghost.
Shake up,
In the precious name of Jesus.
Listen.
Yokes and afflictions are about to fall from the life of people. I'm seeing blood diseases, life-threatening diseases are about to fall. Those of you who are sick here, you will literally perceive a demon leave you. And those of you that have loved ones that are sick, you can call them now. Call them. The power of God will touch them. And those you cannot call, hold them in the place of prayer now. Now, yokes are about to be broken.
Listen.
There's about to be a wide baptism of fire. Don't hurt God now. Those of you on this road, lift your hands. There's about to be a wide baptism. As this power descends on you, your life will change forever. At the count of three, Holy Spirit, fall upon them. Holy Ghost, one. Holy Ghost, two. Holy Ghost, three. Touch.
Holy Ghost,
Those of you on this road, lift your hands. It's your time. It's your time. It's your time. I see God raising prophets.
Amen.
Prophets from this road. Prophets.
Amen.
Prophets. Men of authority in the kingdom. And at the count of three, Holy Ghost, fall upon them. Holy Ghost, one. Holy Ghost, two. Holy Ghost, three. I've seen intercessors. I've seen women in the altar of Deborah. In the altar of Deborah. Prophets, prophets, prophets. After the order of Holy Ghost. People that have territorial mandate. After the count of three, Holy Ghost fall upon them. One, Holy Ghost, two, Holy Ghost, three. God wants to raise from among you psalmists that have prophetic dimensions. Prophetic dimensions. And I've seen people that have capacity to lead in places of authority. And so, dear Spirit of the Living God, I stretch my hands and I make it happen by the Spirit. After the count of three, Holy Ghost, one, Holy Ghost, two, Holy Ghost, three. Oh, my God.
The fire will be falling on people.
You'll be drunk in the Holy Ghost.
Something the Holy Ghost has opened. Something the Holy Ghost has opened.
The Lord wants me to pray for the sick. Listen. We don't have time. That's why I'm cutting short. But even after the meeting, most of you will still remain under the anointing. I don't have time. Listen. You are sick on your body. Place your hands there. Is there anybody here that has a deafening condition? You have a challenge with your ear. Is there anybody here that has a challenge with the ear? Just place your hands. Where you have your challenge. Who has a challenge with the left ear? Is there anybody? The left ear. Anybody? I'm seeing a lady that has a challenge with the left ear. The lady, challenge. You? Yours is what? Left ear. What's the challenge?
It's paining me.
It smells. This person I'm perceiving. Any other lady? You, what's your challenge? Come quickly. Challenge. There's another person that has pain. Excruciating pain that makes it difficult for you to hear. You can't even hear. Who is the person? Come quickly. The Lord wants to rebuke the spirit of deafness. Go ahead, put your hands there. There are about 7 of them. Leading in the ear. What's your challenge? Pain on the left ear. The Lord wants to heal. Meanwhile, you have any challenge, put your hands where you have challenge now. We want to rebuke demons by the healing power. Shawatika. Zeivu warapa tumela suanda haftia. Perua stivanabunde na kaitua. Father, in the name of Jesus, I arrest every spirit of infirmity. I arrest every spirit of infirmity right now. I command you, get out of their bodies.
Get out of their bodies.
I command the chains of sickness, the yoke of sickness. Break the power of God. Help them.
Get out.
People will shout as the chains are broken now. I command you, get out. Get out in the name of Jesus.
Out.
Get out.
Out.
Shalom. Go back to that.
Shalom.
You are mighty in this place. Shalom. Yeshua. Shalom. You are mighty in this place. You can go ahead and worship now. The mighty God is in it. The monarch of Zion is in it now.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom,
shalom, shalom, shalom, shalom,
shalom,
shalom, you are mighty in this place.
Shalom, shalom,
shalom, shalom,
shalom,
shalom, shalom,
shalom,
shalom, you are mighty in this place.
Pain just left somebody's chest. An excruciating pain just left somebody's chest. Check. Check. A pain on your chest like heaviness. It just left. It just left. The Lord is healing now. Just check yourself. I'm seeing migraines. Migraine happens. Leave jumping out of people.
Shalom.
Things are already going. Things are already going. Meanwhile, those of you here, you can check your ears now. You are healed.
Healed in Jesus' name.
Listen, somebody came in here with menstrual pain. Excruciating menstrual pain that have troubled you for years. The pain just left. Ulcer pain also just left. Just left. It just left like that. I'm telling you, it just left. It just left. I've seen somebody healed of breath issue. Breath issue. What you have is, you use inhaler. Breath issues. Your lungs have been cleared. Your lungs have just been cleared. Your lungs have been cleared. Check yourself, check yourself, check your healing, find your healing. You have time to spectate. The power of God is still touching people. All shall God be sensitive. I don't want people injured.
Hello, humanity in this place.
Listen. I'm still a young man. A young man that every time money comes into your hand, that's when you become foolish. You become foolish. As the worship was going on, something jumped out of you. You have been healed. You have been restored. Mind issues. God is taking care of mind issues. Mind issues. I've seen somebody with rage. Rage. There is terrible anger. When you are in rage, if you are provoked, you can carry anything and hit anybody. I've seen it. The spirit just left you. And you sensed it depart. You sensed it depart. Check your healing now. And if you have found it, come out.
Yes. Shalom, shalom, shalom,
shalom,
shalom, shalom, you are mighty in this place. Shalom, shalom.
Hallelujah. We are out of time. We are out of time. Just check your body. Check your body. Check your body. Check your body. You discover there's been a healing. You discover there's been a healing in your body. Come quickly. I'll just say two or three testimonies. We are the people with deafening condition. I told them to go out and check. Bring them in. They are healed. Just go ahead. Check. Check your body now. Listen to the instruction. Listen to the instruction. Listen to the instruction. Go ahead and check your... How many persons came here with sickness? Just lift your head. You came here with sickness. Now check your bodies. You have been healed. Come out. If what you came with is no longer there, come out and testify. I want to take a few testimonies. We are the guys with ear issues. I asked them to be taken outside to test it. Check with them and bring them back. Meanwhile, as those who are filing for healing, stay at the left hand side. You are here. Listen. Listen. You are here. No, not that way. Go to the left hand side. You are here. You have not made Jesus the Lord of your life. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not talking about religion.
Can you please help those people under the anointing? Can you help them calm them down? Just place your hand on them and declare peace. Peace, peace, peace. Declare peace. Declare peace. Alright, listen now. You are here. You have not made Jesus the Lord of your life. You were born in church. You are going to church. But you know that Jesus doesn't have authority over your life. You do what you want, when you want, and you make your choices. I want to give you an opportunity today to make Jesus the Lord of your life. If you are in that category, come out quickly. Let me join faith with you. Let me join faith with you. You are here, you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Before now, you live your life the way you want. But right now, you want to submit your life to Jesus so that he will take control, take authority over your life. Come to the right hand side. Let's do that very quickly. Let's do that very quickly. That's right, brother. Come to the right hand side.
Jehovah Shalom. Shalom. You are here in me. Shalom, Shalom. Shalom, Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. Shalom. You are Shalom.
You notice a healing in your body, come out. Keep checking. Man of God, what has he been healed of? What has he been healed of? A lot of you are already under the power. You're under the power of God. Ushers can consult with them. You notice there's a healing in your body, come out. Yes, what has happened to him?
That he had an accident.
Yes, he had an accident.
2017.
So 2017.
2017, that he having excruciating pain by the
left hand side of his waist.
The pains have been there for over a year now.
From accident.
Because of this prayer.
You were operated.
You were operated.
And then there's been pain on the left hand side of your frame.
Yes.
Let me hear from him.
I was operated in 2017.
Operated in 2017?
Yes, at Goku. So after the operation, I went for my checkup. That's two times. And they found out that the pelvic is not in the right place.
Your pelvic joint is not in the right place.
Yes.
After the operation.
Yes. So when I came in here, I don't stand this name for long. So I asked God that I won't live here except get my healing.
Okay, before now you can't stand for long because of the pain.
Yes, but ever since the prayer this name started, I've been this name standing, and I will still stand to the end of this.
You have been standing since, and the pain is gone. And you are just looking like that. A pain he has struggled with from 2017, from accident, bone fracture. Nobody has a right.
You're a miracle worker. You're mighty.
Wow. A fractured joint. After operation at the pelvic, I've been feeling excruciating pain since 2017. Just vanished. And you came with headache. You came with fever. You want to live like that. You are not wise. Somebody wants to lay hold on Jesus and say, give me my own. Give me my own. It's your time. Nobody has a right to live here tonight sick. I command every sickness, get out of them in the name of Jesus. I command every sickness, get out in the name of Jesus. What has God done?
The patches of so many from affliction.
Affliction. Package of affliction.
Since on Sunday.
Yes.
The thing has started. He tried all he could. He went to hospital. They are putting on drips, several drips.
You have been on drips.
On drips.
What's the challenge?
The package of everything. Package of sickness, fever.
What did they tell you from the hospital?
Tell me that. They don't consider me when I go there. They just leave me and put me drip and inject me.
The doctors are tired of you. But every symptom has vanished. You were feeling symptoms before. Why are you out? Have you been healed?
Yeah, yeah, been healed.
You have been healed.
Yes.
You don't sense the affliction anymore.
That is it.
The afflictions have gone. The afflictions have gone.
Haka hakaya.
Listen. Never take spiritual things for granted. I told you already, it's those of us who are in church that take this thing for granted. Look at my phone now. See who just called me. A man I discharged in the morning. He was going for a meeting. He has begun to see the power of God. What's his name, sir?
Senator.
The same senator. At the over 65 years, when they see power, they pursue it. That's what takes men. Somebody say power.
Power.
Can you stretch your right hand? Say, God, baptize me with power. In Jesus' name,
sir.
Yes.
He said he has been struggling with a life of prayer.
He has been struggling with prayers.
But today,
yes,
something broke out.
Something broke out of his prowess. That's a miracle. I tell you the truth. He's been held back by heaviness. And let that activation be permanent.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Can you lift your hands toward heaven? You know you are in the congregation. And Jesus is not Lord over your life. I'm going to give you 2 more minutes to join these people here. The one that summons you, his name is Jesus. You think it's church play we are doing here? I'm giving you 2 minutes. You know you are in the congregation. Jesus is not the Lord of your life. It's time to open your heart. Meanwhile, I break every cross holding you back. I challenge every cross holding you back. I challenge you in the name of Jesus.
Precious Holy Spirit.
Precious Holy Spirit, brood upon them. And we don't have time. Lay hands on them quickly. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. They are giving you gifts now. Baptism. Men of God, help me. God's servant. We don't have time. There's no time, please. Just one pastor to another. Just lay hands on them. Baptize them in the Holy Ghost. Tomorrow is the night of power. I didn't have time to do any much today. Tomorrow is the night.